First Kings, chapter 3. And our text for this morning is that verse 9. First Kings 3 and verse 9. This is the prayer of Solomon, in which he said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" Our subject for this morning, as we look at the life of Solomon, our subject is when dreams come true. For Solomon had a dream that came true for him. For David, the king of Israel, is now dead, and Solomon, his son, occupies the throne. And we are given some of the notable characteristics of Israel's new king. We're told, first of all, about his witness. If you look there at the third verse, 1 Kings 3, verse 3, and there we read, "And Solomon loved the Lord." There's his witness. Indeed, in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 24, we read there that the Lord loved Solomon. And what a blessing for any nation to have a ruler who loves the Lord, who's able to say, "I love the Lord." Solomon himself said in Proverbs 29 and verse 2, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." And you think of the wicked that bear rule in our country, and the laws that they pass, and the mourning and the sorrow that those laws bring to many. It is a blessing to have a man in the place of authority who's able to say, "I love the Lord." As well as his witness, we have his walk. Solomon loved the Lord. So it was only natural then that he was found walking in the statutes of his father David, as we read there in that third verse. Solomon followed the example of his father and indeed obeyed the exhortation of his father. 1 Kings chapter 2. And you can read there in the opening three verses David's exhortation to his son Solomon. For he said in verse 2, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." And so Solomon followed the example of his father, and Solomon also obeyed the exhortation of his father. He certainly loved his father, but more importantly, he loved the Lord. Just as the Savior said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that's what Solomon did. He loved the Lord, therefore he kept the Lord's commandments. John 14 and verse 15. His witness and his walk. But then in that verse 3, we read something of his worship. Because we read, "And Solomon loved the Lord walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. So we can see that Solomon put a great deal into the worship of his God. We can see that this all stemmed from the fact that Solomon loved the Lord. And you see, when you love the Lord, then you will walk in his commandments and obey them. When you love the Lord, then you will put much into your worship of the Lord. When we love the Lord, we will give our all in our worship of him. Even as David himself has exhorted us in Psalm 99 verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. So it was there, at Gibeon, that Solomon offered many sacrifices in his worship of God. It was there also that the Lord appeared unto Solomon, and he appeared unto him in a dream. We read that in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And what was told to Solomon in that dream came to pass. Here is an example where dreams do come true. And regarding this appearance of the Lord to Solomon in a dream one night, we notice the revelation of the Lord. The Bible records prayers that were offered to the Lord in unusual places and unusual circumstances. For example, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, and he wanted to go to Jerusalem to help repair the walls. But being the king's cupbearer, he wasn't sure if the king would allow him to go. And so he appeared before the king and stood before King Artaxerxes there in Shushan the palace. And before he answered the king, we read there in Nehemiah, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Unusual circumstances. Standing before the king, so I prayed to the God of heaven. You recall where Jonah prayed. He had a prayer meeting in the belly of a great fish. And of course, we cannot forget the dear Savior. When the Lord Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father while he hung upon a cross. Now here we find Solomon praying to the God of Israel while he slept. Is this not an unusual circumstance? While he slept, the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and spoke to Solomon, and Solomon spoke to the Lord. Certainly, it was an unusual set of circumstances, but his prayer was as the request, was as the result, rather, of the Lord revealing himself to him in a dream. And we notice, first of all, where this all took place. We're told that it took place in a mountain. Look there at verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. In Gibeon, if you go to verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. So Gibeon was a high mountain. That's what Gibeon means. It means a high hill. It was there that God appeared to Solomon. It was there that God appeared to him in a dream, and the Lord spoke to Solomon, and Solomon to the Lord. It was there that Solomon had offered sacrifices on that high hill upon an altar. That brings to mind another altar. Brings to mind another high hill. Brings to mind another sacrifice. That hill is Calvary. That altar is the cross. And that hill is Calvary, and the sacrifice is the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And wasn't it there that the Lord revealed himself to us? When he revealed himself to us to be the only Savior of our soul. I saw one hanging on a tree. In agony and blood, he fixed his loving eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Oh, can it be upon a tree? The Savior died for me. My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. And it was there for many of us that our eyes were opened, and Christ was revealed to us as the only Savior of the soul. Like Pilgrim, like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, as he climbed that hill with that great burden upon his back, bent to double with its weight, he lifted up his eyes and he saw one hanging on a tree. And he remembered the words of the prophet. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we know how Pilgrim believed. The Lord had revealed himself to him. And we are told in Bunyan's great story that the burden fell off his back. The burden of sin rolled down the hill and was buried in a Sadducean grave. So it was with us. We saw Christ hanging on the tree. He was revealed to us as our Savior. We had not only the mountain, but we also have the method. As well as the mountain, we have the method. How did the Lord reveal himself to Solomon? Well, we're told, in a dream by night. This is how the Lord, in times past, would choose to reveal himself at times to his servants. Numbers 12 and verse 6. There in Numbers 12, we read in verse 6, and he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." And so while this may appear to be unusual to us, it was certainly not unusual in Old Testament times when the Lord would make known his will to his servants, even in a dream. Now, he may not speak that way to his people now, because we have the complete canon of Scripture. There is nothing to be added to this book. So we don't need these new and fresh revelations. The Word of God is complete. But the Lord does betimes visit his people in the night. He will often make himself known to us by a sense of his presence. He will often make himself known to us by, say, a word of encouragement in the night season. That's what Paul experienced. How the Lord came to him in the night. He was in the great ship Alexandria, tossed about by a tempest of wind called Eurycleidon. And many on board that ship believed they were going to perish because they had not seen the sun or stars in many days. So severe was that storm. And when all on board with Paul thought they were going to perish, Paul stood on deck, and this is what he said. He told the man, "Fear not. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul.'" Acts 27, verses 23 and 24. So there was Paul, and he experienced a visitation from the Lord at night in the midst of a storm. Psalm 17, verse 3 tells us, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night." And how good it is when the Lord visits us in the night. Say we're lying awake and something on our mind, and suddenly a verse of Scripture comes to us that encourages us. We suddenly have a sense of the Lord's presence and nearness. So it was with Solomon. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. We have the mountain and the manor, and then we have the message. The Lord came to Solomon that night with a message. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." That was the message. "Ask what I shall give thee." Now, the fact that the Lord came to Solomon and spoke these words to him surely demonstrates for us the willingness of the Lord to answer prayer. The willingness of the Lord to grant to us what we desire. It wasn't Solomon going to the Lord. It was the Lord coming to Solomon. And the Lord coming to Solomon with the words, "Ask what I shall give thee." But you know something? The Lord was no more willing to answer Solomon's prayers then than he is to answer our prayers now. Because what the Lord said to Solomon, the Lord has said to us the same words. He has given us the same words. For we read in John 14, and there in verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Lord, send the same thing to us. As he said to Solomon, chapter 15 and verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Look at the end of verse 16. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So here we have the Lord saying to Solomon exactly what he has said to us. Here we have, as it were, the Lord handing Solomon a blank check signed by Jehovah himself. Ask what I shall give thee. Similar blank check is put into our hands also when the Lord says to us, ask what I shall give thee. And there we see that our God is willing to give. He's willing to answer prayer. And he is, of course, a giving God. After all, he gave his only begotten Son. And Paul says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Those are tremendous words. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. We've only to ask. As well as seeing the revelation of the Lord, we see next the request for the Lord. Solomon wasted no time in responding to the words of the Lord, because we read at the beginning of verse 6, and Solomon said, surely when the Lord says to us, ask and ye shall receive, then we, like Solomon, should make haste and begin asking that we may receive. And Solomon said, verse 6, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. We can learn a few things from Solomon as he answered the Lord, when the Lord said to him, ask what I shall give thee. We notice that whenever Solomon replied, he first of all spoke about the past. Do you notice? Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father. David is dead now. And Solomon then says, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy. He's talking about the past. According as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Notice what Solomon spoke about. Yes, he mentioned his father, but he spoke about great mercy. And he spoke about great kindness there in verse 6. Great mercy and great kindness. How often when we pray, do we recall, first of all, the Lord's great mercy and the Lord's great kindness in days that have gone by? Is it not true that when we come to pray, we rush immediately to the asking the Lord to do certain things for us? We cannot wait to bring our petition before the Lord, and we forget about the past. And we forget about the Lord and His great mercy and His great kindness to us in the past. And we ought to remember His goodness and His kindness, because that would encourage us in our praying. Well, if the Lord has been good and kind to me in the past, then He will be good and kind to me now and in the future. So when we come to pray, let us do so thanking the Lord for past mercies. Isn't that what Paul said when he, in his letter to the Philippians? Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. We're to do it with thanksgiving. We're to thank the Lord for past blessings. We're to thank the Lord, even as Solomon did, for His great mercy and His great kindness in days that have gone by. When we remember the goodness of our God toward us in the past, it will certainly give us more confidence as we pray about the future, will it not? Let us follow the exhortation of Psalm 136. For in Psalm 136, in the opening few verses there, indeed throughout the Psalm, Psalm 136, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. And right through the whole psalm, each verse ends with those words, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 25, at the end of the psalm, who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Perhaps that's where we miss out sometimes. We forget to give thanks to the Lord for the past. Solomon here shows us then how we ought to pray. Because Solomon spoke about the great mercy and the great kindness of the Lord in the past. As well as the past, he also mentioned the problem. We read in verse 7, Solomon brings his problem before the Lord. That's what we ought to do. That's what we're able to do. That's what the Lord wants us to do. For verse 7 we read, and now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. There you have his problem. Here we have then his confession. He confesses, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. In this confession, we see the humility of Solomon. Just as Jeremiah prayed when he was called to serve the Lord, Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. That's how Jeremiah saw himself. Yet he has been called to be a prophet, called to be a preacher of the word, called to bring God's word to the people of Israel. And yet when he was called, he said, Ah, Lord, I cannot speak. I am but a child. Jeremiah was being humble. Solomon was being humble. Even though David, his father, before he died, said to Solomon, his son, Thou art a wise man. 1 Kings 2 and verse 9. But Solomon knew his own heart. Solomon knew that he wasn't wise enough for the task that lay before him. The Lord has said of my people, which are called by my name, what? Shall humble themselves. That's how Solomon began his praying, remembering the past and telling the Lord about his problem. I am but a child. He spoke humbly, with great humility. And the Lord said of my people which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Notice, the humility comes first. So we notice the confession. We notice also he mentions his charge. Being king over Israel, Solomon was very aware of the weight of the responsibility which lay upon him. Look at verse 8, 1 Kings 3. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. It's as if Solomon is saying, how can I take charge of this great company of people? Solomon was almost overwhelmed by the sight of the nation of Israel and the people that he would now be king over. He needed the Lord's help to carry out his duties as Israel's king. He knew that he could not depend on the arm of flesh. He knew that would fail. Instead, Solomon needed the Lord to help him. Solomon was on his way to having his prayer answered because he was going to depend on the Lord. You know, whenever we show such humility and demonstrate that we need the Lord's help, that we completely abandon ourselves, we're on our way to have our prayers answered. as we see from Solomon. Paul, you recall, said, "And who is sufficient for these things?" And he goes on to say, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. No, we cannot do this of ourselves. To think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16, and 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Paul is saying, the work that we're given to do, we're not sufficient for that work. How can we do it of ourselves? But then he goes on to say, but our sufficiency is of God. That's where Solomon was. Believing that sufficiency was not found in himself, but he must find it in God alone. That's how we ought to come to the Lord. You recall that day that Bartimaeus stood by the wayside begging. What had Bartimaeus to offer the Lord that day? Nothing. He didn't own a cent or a shekel. He had nothing. He was a beggar. That's how he came to the Lord and cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." That's how we ought to come to the Lord. Of ourselves, we have nothing. Whatever the Lord wants us to do, we cannot do it of ourselves. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. Whatever we need to do, whatever God has called us to do, the Lord will give us the help to do it. He will equip us for the job. That's what the Lord was about to do for Solomon. The Lord was about to equip Solomon for the work. As well as the past and the problem, we now have the plea. Remember what the Lord said to Solomon? Ask what I shall give thee. Now we have Solomon's answer. And you will notice that Solomon started praying at verse 6. But he didn't use the word give until verse 9. This is in keeping with the Lord teaching his disciples about prayer. You recall they came upon the Lord one day and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And if you go there to Luke chapter 11, in verse 2 we read, "And he said, the Lord said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." We don't get to the word give until verse 3. Give us this day our daily bread. We see what has gone before first. "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." We hallow his name. We say, "Thy will be done in heaven, so in earth." Then we say, give. So it was with Solomon. Solomon remembered the past. Solomon remembered the Lord's great mercy and great kindness. Solomon said before the Lord his problem. I am but a child. I know not how to go out and to come in. And then Solomon said, give. Sometimes we rush into the Lord's presence and nearly the first word we say is give. We forget to worship him. We forget the past in which he has been good to us, shown his mercy and grace and love, all which must come before. We say, Lord, give. It wasn't until we get to verse 9 that Solomon said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. He didn't ask for material things, but that the Lord would do a work in his heart. Give to thy servant an understanding heart. How we need to often ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts. And here Solomon presents his request, and with it the reason, that I may discern between good and bad. Surely here is a quest that we would all do well to repeat in the ears of God. Lord, give me an understanding heart, that I may know the difference between good and bad, between good and evil, that I might have that wisdom and know how to live for God in this world. It is something which James exhorts us to pray for. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Just to have the wisdom and the knowledge and how to live for God. When Solomon said to the Lord, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. It's interesting. That word understanding may be rendered to hear. Give thy servant a hearing heart. Now we may think that rather strange, but not at all. Solomon will be hearing and listening to the problems of his subjects, and then he will seek to understand that problem and give an answer. But Solomon would need to be a good listener. He would need to be prepared to hear first before he gives an answer. And so we see that the two things are incorporated in the one word. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. And for me to understand, I need to have a hearing heart. I need to be able to listen. One who is the great example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is a good listener. And how thankful we are that he is. For me, the prime example of that is the Lord drawing near to the two Emmaus disciples. And they asked them, why are you so sad? Oh, and they turn. Have you not heard? Are you a stranger here? And what did they do? They unburdened their heart to the Lord. The Lord didn't interrupt them. The Lord walked with them, and as he walked, he listened. And after they had finished, when they had finished, then he spoke. And he did so with great understanding. And what was their testimony afterwards? Did not our heart burn within us as he walked and talked with us by the way? Solomon knew what he wanted and what he needed. He needed an understanding heart. He needed a listening heart. If he was going to be a good king, that's what he asked for. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Wanted the Lord to do a heart work in him. So we have seen then the revelation of the Lord, the request for the Lord, and then finally the response from the Lord. The Lord certainly responded positively to Solomon's request. We see in verse 10 his acceptance. The Lord accepted the words of Solomon. For in verse 10 it says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. There's the exceptions. When the words of our prayers please the Lord, then our prayers are accepted and prayer will be answered. Just as Solomon's speech pleased the Lord on other occasions. We read there in 1 Kings in chapter 9. In 1 Kings 9 and verse 2, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. In other words, Solomon's words had pleased the Lord. For the Lord said, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication. And the Lord did what Solomon had requested. Like Hezekiah, when he was told he would die and not live, turned his face to the wall and prayed. And then the Lord told Isaiah to go back in and tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer. I have seen his tears. I will add to his life 15 years. In other words, Hezekiah's prayers, words pleased the Lord. It's not always that way. James tells us in James 4 verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. The word amiss there means evilly. Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust or for your own pleasure. Ye ask and receive not, because self is there. Ye ask for your own pleasure. Those words do not please the Lord. Words that will please the Lord are words that we ask, Lord, answer prayer that thy name might be glorified. The acceptance, then you have the answer. In verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. The Lord answered his prayer. Solomon's humility was well rewarded. Remember, he came before the Lord, said, Lord, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And whenever Solomon prayed with great humility, the Lord was pleased with his speech, pleased with his words, and the Lord answered, For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And the Lord was going to exalt Solomon to such an extent, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Solomon was a humble man, and the Lord exalted him. And then in the last place, as well as the acceptance and the answer, you have the abundance. For verse 11, the Lord said, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise heart, understanding heart. Verse 13. And I have also given that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. There's the abundance. We've often said the Lord always gives us more than what we ask for. He gives good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And what do we read then in verse 15? And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Dreams do come true. This is what the Lord said to Solomon in a dream, and this is what Solomon said to the Lord in a dream. And the Lord said, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart. Dreams do come true. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving God and gracious Father, we thank thee for the instruction and the teaching of thy word. We thank thee for how, Lord, thou didst reveal thyself to Solomon, and how, Lord, thou didst answer his prayer and granted to him what he had asked for. Lord, may we learn from Solomon. May we learn a little more about prayer, that, O Lord, we may see our prayers answered also. Lord, be with those who are not able to stay for the table. And bless us, Lord, as we abide here, as we remember the dear Savior and his finished work there at Calvary. We pray in the Savior's holy name. Amen.